Hi, and welcome to the Bad Taste Book Club, where I get free back for making me read Anne Rice.
Yeah, you really did.
So today's book is by Anne McCaffrey. It's one of the classics called Dragonflight. And yeah, it's a book. It's a book with some themes.
Yeah, this is one of those things where, like, nostalgia, I think, drives a lot of the affection. Like, if you read it at the right age, it was your shit. I did not. So I'm coming into this super fresh, and Leah is taking me on a wonderful journey. This is pretty much the reverse of our Anne Rice episode.
Yeah, genuinely, this is going, yeah, I can see why this is terrible, but I still kind of love it. Which I feel like is the same as you with Anne Rice. You know when it's bad.
Yeah, I'm still debating what I'm going to use to get Leah back for this. This might mean more.
Let's talk a little bit about Anne McCaffrey. Now, it's really weird, actually, given that Bree and I both have, like, a love of Anne McCaffrey and Anne Rice separately.
The two Annes.
Yeah. They had kind of similar lives in a lot of way. They were breakouts in their genre, especially as female writers. Anne McCaffrey was the first woman to win a Hugo Award, which is frankly bullshit because there's been women writing excellent books for ages, but, you know, she was the first. Anne McCaffrey has a son who took over her writing.
Which truly mirrors Anne Rice's son's ascension to a gay erotica author.
Yeah, I mean, basically. They came about I don't know when Anne Rice started 70s. Writing. So Anne McCaffrey was a little bit earlier, late 60s, but very similar. And so I think some of the problems with the books are actually quite similar.
Yeah, there's definitely some fun crossovers when it comes to old-fashioned values about gender and class and all the fun stuff.
Yeah, I've read a lot of these books. Some of them not for a while, but I probably have a bit more of a handle on the bullshit behind them than Bree does. So be aware that she's gonna probably cry in this episode. Maybe shout, maybe we'll see.
Look, I knew I was getting myself into some bullshit. I have been given the cliff notes of this series in the past, particularly the absurdisms of dragon mating. But, wow, yeah, this is not my genre. This is not my book.
So the lovely ladies at Crooked Russian Can did, like, an overview of the whole series. We'll put a link in the post for you guys to look at that, because it is a very good overview of the whole series and the assorted bullshit that goes with it.
And it's a delight even if you're not familiar with this, because I had a blast listening to
that. Oh, yes. Let's talk about the world a little bit beforehand. This is technically sci-fi. Anne McCaffrey was very clear that it's sci-fi, and all of her other books are sci-fi. So, sci-fi. However, it does include telepathic dragons. I feel like that's a pretty fantasy motif. Like,
would this be what we call savage sci-fi when we have, like,
I don't love the name, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's an old-fashioned name, but it is that kind of, like, fantasy and sci-fi blend.
Yes. So, the basic story is that people came to Pern, which is the planet that these dragons live on, from Earth, and got stuck, like they were a colony, and everything was going great, and then it wasn't. Planet came too close to them, and the spores came down and ate everything, and they burn when they touch you, and it's a real bad time for everybody.
Mm.
So then, they genetic'd up these dragons. They were tiny. They made them into these huge dragons to flame away the spores. This is the first book in the series. Probably the least strong book, because it's setting up a huge amount of weird shit.
Mm.
And so if you're Bree, who delights in having things explained to her about world building, there's about a 3-page, like, this is how the world exists at the beginning, how long did it take you to get past those first three pages?
Honestly, the first three pages weren't too bad, because at least then it's all in one info dump. I think the stuff that really did me in was the search in the beginning. And it is very important to realise that there is a lot of words that are words, but now they have capital letters, which means they mean something. Search is one of them. And I just found that, like, tiresome. It took far too long. It was a lot.
I actually really like the arguably main character of this book. I think Lessa is a terrible human being, and I kind of love that she's the main character. It's kind of fun.
She is an absolute trash person.
Yeah. Like, I genuinely can't imagine a book being published today with that unsympathetic of a main character, to be honest.
I mean, I can, because I can also see someone accidentally thinking that she is a sympathetic character and, like, she's pure even though she's not. Yeah, this is
so a this book came out in, I think, 1968. And, look, I mean, Anne McCaffrey was born in 1926, so I think that she does okay considering...
Sure. Like, it's definitely old-fashioned. I think the thing that bothered me the most was that it wasn't just subtle, it was, like,
built into the world. We open on to a young girl with a werebeast, which is not really explained, but I think it's just one of those, like, almost dragon characters.
Heads up, if you hate a monarchy, don't come here.
Yes. You know, the thing to think about in this book is that it is explicitly about a planet that has devolved over time in terms of, like, social structure.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, almost 2 points of devolution in, if that's not a word, don't come at me, where, like, there is, like, the wider one from the high-tech scientific society down to this, like, Middle Ages vague fantasy setting. Yeah. But there's also within this book a lot of discussion about how, because there's been no threat of this asteroid, the society has then been lax in its rigid social structures that then allowed them to fight the asteroid.
Yeah.
And that continues to reoccur. And, like, I think that was the thing that got me the most. So I guess we should get into the book. So we start with the capital letter S search, which is...
When they look for women to bond with the Queen Dragon, it would actually take us a full episode just to describe everything that happens. But holds farms, mostly, with dragons. They don't do any farming because, you know, they're dragon riders.
They're too busy with the dragons.
They're too busy with the dragons and they can't be bothered doing farming. That's for plebes.
So we've got a case of a guy who's sort of been on a megalomania power trip and he's been conquering villages that he has no place to conquer.
But because we don't care about any of the people in those towns, that's just been allowed to happen.
Yeah, no one was overseeing. There's a lot of talk about the current woman in charge who's bonded with the queen being fat and lazy and overindulgent and
love that fish. By the way, it's so good.
It's like, it is so distasteful, very much this terrible stereotype of, like, fat people, which is just rubbish.
They basically say that she's been sitting on her ass eating bonbons for the last 10 years, and that's why
she hasn't even been birthing the babies. Like, you know, like, the queen hasn't even ride to have more dragons. Yeah. So she's not until even good now at the one thing she's meant to do.
Women, am I right? This was written by a woman. It's so weird to me how, like, utterly sexist this book ends up being, considering who wrote it.
Internalized misogyny.
Yeah, yeah.
It also has, like, that I'm not like the other girls energy.
Oh boy, does it ever. Yeah,
particularly our main character, Lisa.
Yes.
So the writers are out and they're looking for candidates for the bunch of, like, green and bronze eggs.
As well as
the big queen, which is the more important stuff because they're so excited to finally have an opportunity to find a better woman.
The old dragon died.
Oh, that's right. The old dragon died.
Yeah, and so did her rider. And so she's gone now and they need a new werewoman. to be the queen, essentially, of the Were and be in charge of all the boring stuff that the Were leader doesn't want to do.
Yeah, it's very much like, you're the queen, your role is to produce the heir and be quiet and do the stuff I don't want to
do. Yeah, like, you take care of the house now.
Effectively, I'm pretty sure this terrible, like, conqueror, like, he keeps all the women pregnant and...
Yeah, so he's got, like, 8 wives. Yeah. And is constantly having babies by them. And so one of the ladies is quite old and but is pregnant and has to take them, go with them to the hold where Lesser lives, which is Ruatha Hold. Now, I might not be saying that correctly, but to be fair, there are a lot of really dumb names for things in this, and I'm probably going to mispronounce a few of them. So
I am going to avoid saying any names as much as I can, because there are too many apostrophes, and there is just a lot of fantasy bullshit.
I believe I wrote in my notes, oh yes, apostrophe name, fantasy bullshit.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, so we have, like, Fenor and Littell and just...
Falar.
Falar is our main male character, and he's an asshole too. He's the one who's running the search right now. And so they get to Ruatha Hold and can find out immediately that something is wrong because of their psychic bond with dragons means that they can feel that somebody is messing around. And we find out that it was Lesser all along.
Yeah, it was Lesser all along. Mm-hmm. And she is a girl who was the daughter of the family that used to run the hold, but she's since been in hiding because they all got killed.
Yeah, and she has been murdering or causing to leave every holder who's been, like, taking care of the hold since.
She's just been fucking shit up.
Yeah. And, like, on the one hand, I kind of enjoyed that. Like, I would have maybe enjoyed that story a lot if there had just been, like, her fucking shit up for a whole book. On the other hand, she is, like, ruining the lives of everybody underneath the holder, too. It's not like she's just sticking it to the man. So, I don't know how I feel about that.
So we have this sort of, this is revealed, and she pretty much strikes a deal with the leader of this group of dragon men, which is like, yo, kill the guy I don't like.
Well, no, she manipulates him into killing the guy that she doesn't like.
Yes, sorry, because he is pure and is not allowed to kill while on a search. Capital S. He gets really mad at her, but he's very mad, but also she's kind of hot.
And she's got good genes.
Yeah, I'm going to read a quote because I just still can't get over this sentence. No, there was no taint of common blood here. It was pure, no matter whose line. Which is just like, because he's worried that maybe she's the child of the conqueror who's come in. I think his name is Fax.
Yeah, that's right. He's Fax. Like, yeah, so we've got some nice eugenics just mixed in with the... I guess it's hand-waved in the books by saying that the people who were in charge of the holds were often the same people that whose families were dragon men. Because nepotism happens. And the fact that they were dragon people meant that they had that, like, special psychic genetic component, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
But it is eugenics. It's 100% eugenics.
Absolutely. So shit goes down, bad guy gets killed, the hold gets promised to the son that gets born?
Yes.
Yeah, but our dragon rider is particularly pleased about this because he wants Lesser to come with him to like, potentially be a candidate for the queen.
And surprise, surprise, she is.
I am shocked to learn this. Yes. Even after that gratuitous shower scene. There is a shower scene. It is pages. It is so unfortunate. I don't know what this bloody thing has. I realized later that I think it's meant to be implying something about, oh,
purity
in a really gross way, which we'll get to little later.
Oh, bud.
Effectively, from there, we follow her being trained and taught raising the dragon.
Yes, and how she, as a queen, is meant to just stay in the hold and never fly and never...
Except for when it's a mating flight. Yeah. Flight with a capital S, everyone.
Yeah. Here's where we're going to talk about some not great things.
Yeah, so we're going to get into some stuff around, like, dubious consent, non-consent, straight-out rape, I think, will probably come up in this conversation.
Yeah, so a content warning across that. I'll obviously put it in the thing below, but
And this is all because Anne McCaffrey decided that when the dragons fuck, the writers do too. Why did we need this?
Because they're psychically linked, and so that they're super horny when their dragons are horny, obviously. So the deal is, right, whoever the queen chooses to mate with in her flight, capital F, is who will now become the leader of the dragon people. And do you have another quote coming up?
Yeah, so the dragon picks, and it's a completely sort of arbitrary, like, you know, vaguely hand of God bullshit system. But then there's this one line that goes, sometimes it is the one that everyone in the weir wants her to win. And I'm like, is this a democracy or a monarchy? Make up your mind. It's like, no, it's good though, because sometimes it's the one everyone wants to win, but obviously not the last time, because we ended up with that lazy bitch.
Well, no, it's less the lazy bitch and more the hidebound, werebound, I believe they call it, previous were leader, who is basically every stuffy professor or, like, teacher you've ever hated who thinks that women aren't good at things as well. And I think it's quite interesting because Anne McCaffrey is clearly, like, sexist herself, but has this explicitly sexist character for Lesser to rail against as kind of like, yeah, but everything else is also really sexist, and it's weird that this is the one character who you're like, oh, sexist guy.
So the dragons take off, and the queen's, like, having her ride, and obviously the dragon who catches her is whose dragon?
Flare's dragon! And of course that means that they have to have sex, because Anne McCaffrey, and this is a thing over several of her, like, book series, really has a thing for, like, non-consent sex. Like, it's weird. It's weird. I don't love it.
It's very much,
like, it's clearly a kink. No, I can't say
that. I feel like this is definitely the thing that is the product on someone who was raised on a lot of bodice rippers, kind of like the lady. It's kind of an issue that we briefly brushed on, I think, when Anne Rice brushes against it sometimes, where it's like, the not wanting the sex makes your female character more pure.
Yeah.
So having an element that alleviates her consent means that she's still a good girl, but also you get to have the sex.
Yeah, it's real dodgy, and I don't love it, and it's one of the things that honestly is the worst part of this world, and that's saying a lot.
And, like, there's this awful bit, like, later on where he's like, oh, she was, like, not a...
He's sad that she was a virgin when they had to have sex for the first time because of their dragons, because he was brutal with her. And the sex that they'd have since then had seemed like rape. If the sex you're having seems like it's basically rape, you are raping somebody. Don't have sex with someone who doesn't want it.
It's just very much like, he's like, but I've been a, like, you know, considerate bedmate ever since. But, you know, every time the dragons decided to fuck, it felt like rape.
Yes.
My other question is, has he been fucking her since if he's been a considerate bed rape?
Yes.
My dude!
Like, the way in which he relates to Lesser is kind of, it's predatory. He kind of sees her as a child who he's sleeping with.
Yeah, I was kind of excited to begin with because I'm like, oh yeah, queen, that means Lesser will be in charge. But then it's immediately, the man is still in charge.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, that's not fun.
And, you know, so they change from the old, like, the old were-leader who she explicitly hated and thought was sexist to this new leader who is, she kind of hated and was sexist, but it's seen as a step up. And maybe it is, but it's not a huge step up.
It's such a weird dynamic. And, like, there's a great point where he's, like, mad that she likes his dragon more than him. Which is just a whole thing.
And we should maybe get into that. So, Lesser is a special girl. She's not like the other queens.
She can hear all the dragons.
Yeah, she can talk to and hear all the dragons, but she doesn't tell anybody until it becomes plot relevant. There are other women who are within the Weir. There's the mother of Flair and Fëanor. She's basically the head maid of the whole place. And, like, other women who are doing various functions around the place. One of which used to sleep with Flair and now is sleeping with someone else. And basically...
It's implied she slept with every dragon rider. Like, I'm pretty sure it's explicit.
Yeah.
It's like she slept with all the dragon riders, including Flair, and there's a bit of a, like... I think in the end the next queen goes for her and there's like a bit of a, oh, of course it would, that slut. She's might as well be a green dragon, how badly she likes to fuck. Because that's a really, like, there's this thing where, like, green dragons can't have kids. They breed fire and it's because they eat, like, the fire stone.
Yeah, and it
But makes they're them, also really horny and silly. And it's just like, I'm just sitting here going...
In this first book, it is very... slut-shamey of some of the dragons. It's pretty funny, actually.
Those terrible horny animals.
It's also pretty explicit later on in the, like, series that, like, gay men often are green riders. That's, like, a thing.
Because they're silly and horny too, and they can't reproduce and therefore are inferior beings. Jesus, Leah. Like, it's just, it's so, everything I hate, but dragons.
Yeah, look, I know it sounds like we're criticizing this, and we are a lot, but I do genuinely love these books. Like, I finished this book, and I was like, oh, these are terrible. I should read the next one again.
Yeah.
You're like Anne Rice, you have nowhere to turn.
Oh, look, I finished, like, The Vampire Lestat, and I was like... Oh, should I revisit Queen of the Damned? I only finished it again last year.
So, we do some slut shaming. There's like a, this woman had a bastard child and is it yours? Oh no, it's not. It's some other guy's maybe. Who knows?
She's a slut.
She slapped around a bunch. And you know what? Like, good on her. Like, there must be a term in the book. There's probably not. But like, I wonder if there's a, if they were real.
She's a dragon groupie.
Yeah, she'd be like a dragon tail chaser or some shit like that. That'd be a word.
Like the puck bunny equivalent.
Yeah.
Yes.
She loves them dragon boys. But, you know, like, that comes in handy because she does become a queen. But, you know, she's not as good of a queen as Lesser is. She's too silly.
In the background of this, there's this whole thing about the Red Star, which is the asteroid we mentioned in the beginning. And that's getting closer.
And there's a bunch of lore about when the Red Star gets to X point, then, you know, dragons will have to rise. Now, there has been a gap of 400 years between the last time Thread fell and now.
And everyone's like, it's been so long, it's not an issue, don't worry about it.
Yeah, like, and to be fair, 400 years is a fucking long time to go without, like, the problem that defines your world. So it makes sense to me, the thing that has happened, because the dragons basically rely on tithe from the surrounding holds to make their lives work, and nobody wants to give them food anymore because...
Why do we need them?
Yeah, what is the point? You, as a reader, are meant to think that these holds are doing the wrong thing and are terrible, but I can see their point.
Yeah, there's a fun, like... chapter that's just entirely, when you think about it, about taxes.
Yeah, it's about sci-fi taxes.
It's just about taxes. There's just
space taxes.
Space taxes. Meanwhile, Lisa's getting really antsy because she's like, I want to learn how to fly my dragon and not have to have sex at the end of it.
Yes. I'd like to be upright while this is happening, thank you very much. And of course, because Flair is the sympathetic one of the two choices of dragon, like, dragon leader, he graciously allows her to learn how to fly.
But he's a dick about it the whole time.
It's very gracious. He graciously lets her have some rights. Just, you know, as a treat.
I don't think we've sort of mentioned this, but it is really important to understand that because these are not fantasy dragons. No, 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 no. They are sci-fi dragons. They teleport.
Yeah, as do many sci-fi things. So they go to a place called The Between.
Capital B.
And you can only be in there for the space of 3 breaths before you will die.
Yeah.
And if a dragon rider dies in, like, flight, their dragon will commit suicide by going into The Between and never coming out again.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it does get rid of all those pesky having to deal with huge dragon carcasses, which would be quite awkward, especially with no, like, power tools.
Might deal with the food problem, though.
Bit cannibalism-y. Who knows?
Why not cannibalism? Why not?
That's gonna be a shirt. She's gonna make me read Hannibal, guys. It's gonna happen.
Look, those books have a special place in my heart. I'm just trying to decide which one's the worst one.
Leather gets to have some flying training and she goes in between, but because it's teleportation, she thinks about a time when she was... So you've got to... When you teleport, you have to use your brain to come up with an image of where you need to teleport to. I'd be fucked. I cannot imagine images for the life of me. She imagines an image of a day in the past and her dragon not realizing that she just wants to go to that place, goes, okay, cool, we can go back then. And she finds out that time travel is possible. Well, hey!
Yeah, and, Flair's really mad about this. He's real mad about this. Because, yeah. First of all, he said you do little scats. What are you doing trying to go back to your hometown, you dumb bitch? And then he's like, time travel? We can't time travel.
And then she's like, well, just did. Deal with it.
He's like, you're full of shit. but later he does realize that maybe she's not.
Yes, he does it himself and then believes her because can't trust women with no thinking for themselves. That's bullshit.
So now, so after this happens, we have the fun realization that the threads are back.
Yes, this is not at all a spoiler because it was obviously going to happen the whole time. They find out that the threads have been coming because they've got a bunch of lore that says when these things happen, then you got some problems. They realize this after it's already started to fall on plants and animals that they care about. So then they remember they've got this, like, time travel business. So they travel back in time to sort it out and feel really gross afterwards. This doesn't bother anyone, and so they're like, well, we don't have enough dragons because for some reason we're the only weir left, even though there were four others. We're just going to take a bunch of eggs and, like, people to the southern continent where no one exists and time travel back, like, 10, 20 years. And basically raise them all up so that we can have extra dragons now. And then, since they can go back 20 years, and since they're still monumentally screwed...
They're like, what if we do a few hundred?
Yeah, Lesser listens to a poem from the Harper's Guild, which is basically your bard class. So, Lesser goes back 400 years to find the dragons, and basically is like, you know, the bunch of them are not around anymore because I brought them forward. This is definitely a good idea, and I guess it already happened, so here we go. She obviously really suffers because she's in the between, capital B, for too long.
Yeah.
Finds all these people, works out that, like, sexism is less of a thing about 400 years back. So then, like, all these dragons come forward and repopulate the wares and everybody's happy.
Yes, they are.
So, that's the story. What you might have got a little bit of in our retelling of the story is how much Bree did not enjoy this book. Let's talk about the reasons you did not enjoy this book.
The big thing I felt like, I feel like there was a lot of fat you could have trimmed.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like, because, and like, you're right, it's possibly because it is the first book, so it's setting up a lot of world building, but it's like, we didn't really need a whole, like, multiple chapters about taxes.
Yeah.
I think even the search itself could have been a prologue. It was just one of those things where it was just like, it took so long and it's just
but
so dense.
But then how will you find out that Letha is not like other girls?
She makes it pretty clear, I promise you. And generally speaking, I think the thing that got me the most is just there's so much biological essentialism built into this.
It really is. It's one of the things that when I read it when I was 14, I didn't pick up on it at all. And as an adult, I'm like, what the hell?
And there's a lot of it being justified by, like, bad pseudoscience, which is just, like...
Basically, they all but break out the phrenology skulls to, tell you why Letha is, like, such a cool lady and awesome and definitely should be queen.
And, like, I think the thing is, a lot of the stuff that, people who are nostalgic about this series, it has kind of carried on within, like, YA fantasy settings. I think the thing with this is that if you're the sort of person who reads books and you're like, oh, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
I can see what would draw you to this book. I am not that person. Yeah. I read for characters.
Yeah, and like we've talked about before, I'm an absolute sucker for world building. So the idea of like a sci-fi setting for a dragon series, both, like, I loved it as a child, and as an adult, I'm like, no, this is still awesome. Like, there's a lot not to love about these books. I'm not going to say that they're, like, you know, perfect paragons of delight. Anne McCaffrey was a lady who had some very weird ideas about sexuality that only got weirder as she got older, and there was a controversy, in 2000 and I want to say 8, but maybe a little bit earlier, where she basically said that the reason that people are gay is because they were penetrated in the ass when they were a child. Men, obviously women aren't gay, that never happens.
I didn't realize that was so recent. I put that in the 90s in my head.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So to talk about the things that I love about this series.
Yeah, tell me what you love about it.
It is the whole, like, the whole thing with dragons and the psychic connection and, like, the community making things safe. Like, on one reading, you can call it a serfdom sort of situation. On the other hand, it also, particularly the weirs, come across as kind of like a funky commune in a lot of ways. Like, there's a lot of, it's not the best run commune, but there's a lot of, like, community spirit and, you know, people trying to do things for the good of the whole country or, like, the whole planet, essentially, in this case. And I don't know, that's lovely. It's kind of like it's an epic tale told in various different ways. Like, so this story is about Letha and her struggle to become, like, be taken seriously, which I think probably is something that Anne McCaffrey would have understood. And yet, Letha is not a good person. She's very unsympathetic, but yes, she's not taken seriously, not because she's an asshole, but because she's a woman, and that's shitty.
Yeah, I think where this... I can see that sort of weird undertone in the books, and
yeah.
I feel like maybe it's definitely something that would potentially have more room to breathe in later series.
Yes, and I definitely think, like, it's definitely of its time. Like, this was written in 1968, so that is a real... Like, that's when women couldn't have credit cards on their own, and...
That's also a period where there's a lot of anxiety about moving away from traditional values.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe comes through a little bit in this book, because
yes,
there is a bit of, like, the traditional values, but it's not framing it as conservatism as much as it is when we work together instead of being rugged individualists.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what it's trying to preach.
And honestly, like, dragons are cool. Dragons,
I get that.
Are always
dragons
cool.
Are very cool. I will not knock that. I love a dragon.
And I think as well as, like, you know, when I read this as a misunderstood teen, the idea of a sentient being knowing all about you and still loving you is, like, for a teen to have.
Animal bonds are absolute catnip to kids. Like,
oh my God.
I was never a dragon girl.
Yeah.
But, I was definitely, wouldn't it be cool to have a psychic wolf buddy?
Oh, yeah. I'd take a psychic wolf. All right, final thoughts.
Dragons are cool, I guess. But I don't really want them picking my partners.
Yeah. Dragons are cool, but terrible matchmakers.
And Jesus, Anne's across the decades. Stop.
70s Anne's have problems with consent. And purity culture can go suck a dick. They're my final thoughts. But also, if you really like the idea of a sci-fi dragon series and can deal with the sometimes not great representation of women, gays, people who are, like, lower classes, then this is a really good series. It really is. I really enjoy it. I still really enjoy it.
I think it's one of those things where if that pitch, like, strikes at something in the core of your being, like sci-fi dragons, and you really, really want to read it, read it.
Yeah.
If you're kind of indifferent, don't.
Thanks for joining us. Next time we're looking at the Shape of Water novelization.
Yes, we are. And I'm so excited. This book, like, no movie novelization should be as good as this book is.
Slight confession to make, I never read novelizations. If it's got like a trademark logo on the front page, I am never going to read it. So be excited for that. You can find us in a bunch of places.
So you can send us an email at badtastebookclub@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at badtastebookpod. We're on Tumblr at badtastebookclub, and we're also on Instagram at badtastebookclub.
And also we do now have a Patreon at patreon.com/badtastebookclub.
Yeah, we're currently just using it as a tip jar.
All right, well, we'll see you next time, or you'll hear us next time. Bye from me.
And bye from Brie. Capitals everywhere. Everywhere.
I feel like I should apologize, but honestly, like, this is fun for me.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm gonna get you. Like, you could be super horny and not fuck.
No.
Are there no vibrators in this weird sci-fi world?
There are definitely no vibrators.
Well, that's unfortunate.
But there are fingers, so, you know.